Welcome to the Tech Savvy Professor Podcast, two faculty who love tech and love making it part of their work. Eric, how are you? What's going on?
I'm here. I'm actually excited to talk about what we have on deck here. It's been a while since I've tooled around with it, so I'm going to lean into you on this one. You use it a little bit more often.
Yeah, I do. We're talking about Slack today in this episode. So anything new in your world? Any new tech news or things that have arrived?
Gadget-wise, no. I'm kind of in a lull at the moment. I think I'm trying to refrain from shopping until some new stuff comes out. But I hear you have a new toy.
Yeah, I mentioned on this a few episodes back that I cashed in all of my iPads with the anticipation that the iPad was coming out the following week, and it didn't come out. And I felt kind of naked. I wanted to stop using my phone. So I went in and got a Samsung Galaxy 9 Plus tablet. It's pretty. I mean, I've got to give them credit. The screen is pretty. I'm still having to relearn the logical steps taken to add things and take things out. I've got to use apps for certain things that I would not normally use. So I have to find the app that does what I need to do. But right now, it's basically a reader for me. It lets me do Reddit. It lets me look at news. And it's my larger screen for my small eyes in the morning when I wake up. And I need the, I don't want to have to squint and look at my phone to adjust. So it's finding its place. It'll stay here. It wasn't a big investment, which is nice. I still have all of those gift cards waiting for the iPads to come out. Unfortunately, I think the next prediction date of when they go on the market and when they're announced, I'm in Washington, D.C. for an all-day meeting. And I'm what makes it bad is I could sit there, but I can't sit there with a bunch of gift cards going through it during the meeting and adding them in to buy the damn thing. I don't think I want to take them with me to D.C. in case, you know, it happens. But I'm running the damn meeting, so I can't. Obviously, I can't do that. So all the predictions pushed it off till early May, and the best date might be the date that I'm in. The most predictable date is the date that I'm in D.C. running a meeting. So,
and for the moment,
what?
And for the moment, you're visiting the dark side on the Android side of things.
Yeah, I go back and forth. You know, it's like going to places where you shouldn't be, and feeling good while you're there and then regretting it and saying you'll never do that again. Well, that's how I feel about my Samsung tablet. I'm forcing myself to use it more. So I feel like the little investment I made in it, I'm getting some use out of it. So let's talk about Slack.
Yeah.
Slack is an app. How would you describe it?
They describe it, I think, sometimes as a messaging system, mm-hmm. but it feels bigger than that. It's analogous to Teams in a lot of ways, but the setup and the features are so different that it's almost a poor comparison.
Yeah. When I first saw it, I remember days of long ago when they had Lotus and Lotus Notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a bootleg copy of that and put it on my computer and realized that there was this intranet that you could create. So if everybody in a workplace was on the same internet, you could create a little intranet, which allowed you to do messaging people back and forth. And the messages would pop up on your screen from other people. So it was meant as a workplace add-on. So you could have this communication system that wasn't solely relied on email messages, but sort of instant messages. Now, the whole instant message thing has blown up. And so you're right. Just to call Slack a messaging system doesn't feel a fair comparison in terms of what it can do and what it does do. It's changed because when it first came out, and this was probably pre-COVID, I know it was pre-COVID, you could have a test account. And as long as you didn't want to do any high-end stuff, it had all the functionality and it kept storing stuff forever. You had a complete record of things way beyond what you'd ever use in terms of from messaging or attachments and things like that. And I thought, well, this is nifty. We'll leave it to that Fortune 500 company to spend the money to actually pay for the service, whereas we can enjoy this great app for free. And you and I tinkered around with it in terms of a communication system and a platform for questions. I have set up some groups on there that are now long dead, where people would, you can set the system up, then you can send a link to folks and they can join the group with your approval through the link. And I thought, well, this is great. We now have something that can sit on your desktop if you want and can get right to kind of immediate response versus email, which, you know, you can get notifications in email, but at the same time, you can kind of shut that down. Then you have to go into the email. You have to set, you have to open up a new reply. You have to type all that stuff in. Whereas Slack was sort of an immediate pass back and forth on simple things that you needed clarification on. So we played around with that during COVID with one of the national associations trying to address some of the concerns that were coming up with instruction. And I've set it up. I use it as a demo app for students in my college teaching class. And they're surprised. They are surprised by it. They didn't know about it. But everybody who uses it on a regular basis for whatever purpose loves it. And there are people who love Slack.
Yeah, and I think they do a lot to make it user-friendly, to emphasize the fun part of things, you know, emojis and animations and messages. The functionality of it, though, is really clean. And, you know, there's a couple of different features. That they have their own kind of video meeting, which they call huddles, that you can do, which is your synchronous meeting. Everything starts out, they really push you to want to keep everything in text because it keeps a record of all that. But if you're going to do a video meeting, it'll start with audio and then people turn their cameras on if they want. So, you know, they really push this video as being not the preferred method of communication. And you'll see that messaging in their videos if you take a look. The thing that I thought was really neat that I want to try and haven't is the clips. And I've tried to do this with a couple of folks. I get questions about a system that we use and I help administer for field work quite a bit. And you can record just really quick updates, videos, audio, just walking people through things and send that as a message, which is super clunky to try to do in Teams. Yeah. The demo in here makes it look really easy. So somebody reaches out and has a technical question. I can do a quick screen share, record it, send it. Here's your steps to walk through. And there it is.
Yeah. Well, so you use the term super clunky in Teams, which is a repetitive term. You don't need to use the super clunky. It applies to all things in Teams. Not a Teams fan. However, most universities are hooked into that Microsoft ecosystem. And for better or worse, we're stuck with it. I wish if I could get my program to do more of our communication through a Slack channel, it would save a lot of time in email. And instead of having a group of email messages and phone numbers that I'm messaging through my phone to people with, I can have it all on the screen and can do it through Slack. And frankly, I can also have it on my phone and do it through Slack. But again, it's the idea of getting people to kind of shift the way in which they do work to be able to use it. Now, obviously, you know, there's a lot of great functions with it. One of them I like are channels. And I'm talking basic essential functions. So I'm in a group that is about technology, and it's a podcaster that has this group, and they have channels for deals. So if you find something on sale, you can post something to chat that might be deal. You have one that's called Delete Me, which is basically internet jokes, memes, things that you know are irrelevant to the purpose and content of the group. General, which is the where most of the general communication goes on around technology. And then we have a show off, which is here's something I've just done. Look at what I've just created, whether it's a picture or a podcast or something like that. So those channels are set up, and as a user, you can, as an administrator, you can turn those channels on and make them private for people that are invited into it, or it can be public, and then people can subscribe to those channels and they will get the feed from all of those different channels. The beauty of the private ones is if you're working with a group of people and you have a sub team that's going to work on a project, you can put them all in one channel, make it private, and that conversation will be amongst them and won't flood everybody else's general stream. So I really like channels. There's also direct messaging in it. So all of the members can be listed under a listing, and you can click on one and do a direct message that just goes to them. It allows you to do a certain amount of attachments if you want to do attachments with this. So if I want to send a document back and forth, that's very cool. And it's on your desktop. You can set it up for notifications. So as things come in, you get a notification that it's coming, or you can shut it off. So, you know, I think colleagues whose perception that I don't want people to have that kind of immediate access to me, you still control that. It's just a different, and it's a different level and simpler level of sending things around. All of it, of course, is then recorded. And if you need to go back to it, it's searchable. Whereas emails, you're not only searching your on-topic stuff, but you're searching whatever comes across your email. So it's often harder to find things through that system.
Yeah, I like I think it calls it quiet time instead of like your status notifications that you would have in Teams that kind of track your activity and what you're doing and update your status that way. You can set up your quiet time that, you know, lets people know that you're working, you know, or you're not actively responding to things at the moment. Which I think is really helpful. One thing I thought was interesting, and this is a Salesforce product. Salesforce is big, you know, especially in universities for admission software, HR software. Workday is a part of that kind of ecosystem. That one's pretty popular. So it said 2,600. It integrates with 2,600 apps. But being a Salesforce product, I'm actually surprised more universities haven't jumped on it because it's part of that ecosystem.
Yeah, when we wrote up things to think about in the show, I thought the problem with using this for communication is I can't put students' names in it. And I'm wondering about security, FERPA violations, things like that limits the use of Slack for those kind of reasons, or at least universities' perceptions that it should be limited. Whereas if you're looking at Teams, it's all in that enclosed ecosystem and university knows how to handle those kind of communications. But I'm reluctant to send information about students through any channel, really. To address some of those concerns. And maybe that's what's holding universities up. I would also guess it's a hefty price tag. If you've got, you know, 2,000, 3,000 people who work at your university, if you're thinking faculty as well as staff, part-time and full-time, you know, you pay for seat. You pay a price for everybody who has a seat at the Slack table. You can still use the free version. What it used to do was it kept everything forever. Now it only keeps it for 90 days. And it's, you know, got some limited functionality. So if I've got a short-term task force that I'm working with for an association and we've got six people on it, and we know things are going to be done in 90 days or at least 90 days from now, we're not going to care about what we did 90 on day 91 back. This works as a good communication tool versus something like Google Docs, where you kind of have to go into it to see what people are doing. They're not sending information back to you to say, yeah, I got this done. Unless they're doing it through email. It's not an instant. I guess they could do it through Google Chat. But it's not as seamless as an interface for doing that. So there are limitations, but I think there are also things that you can use it for if they're small, specific tasks.
So something else I thought was neat was the workflow builder. I haven't used it. I don't have any experience with it, but just watching the videos, and taking some time to look through the guides, it looks pretty interesting. Because there's some definite kind of repetitive tasks I could see using it for, that it would help to automate.
Do you know if that's part of the free account?
I don't think it is, to be honest.
Yeah.
Something we should talk about too, is what the pricing looks like. So the free account is the free account. It gets you 90 days of message history, like you said, 10 app integrations, or published workflows. So you get pick between the two, it sounds like. You get the one-on-one audio and video meetings. You get up to 50 people if you pay for the paid version. Collaboration in one workspace. And then right now they're running a special. It's usually $8.75 a month for the paid version, the pro level. They're running a special for $4.38 a month.
What's the seat per seat price on top of that?
I think that's just for an individual account. That's for your individual pro account.
Yeah. So you times that times the number of people who are in your workspace, and you've got the monthly price. Mm-hmm. I mentioned to you before we started recording that I was sent a advertisement for an app, and I said, "Oh, I want to play with this." But in order for me to play with it, I have to find other people who are willing to play with it too, in these collaboration apps. And this is not like Google Docs. It's not like Slack. It's a Slack alternative, but it's set up for that type of communication around projects. And the advertisement was, yeah, you have one monthly fee. You can have as many people in here as you want. This is your monthly fee, unlike other services. Taking a swipe at Slack. And I thought, well, this might be fun. Now I got to find five friends that I can convince to go on and add the software and then agree to do something with it with me. And that's where I stopped. I said, well, maybe not today.
Yeah, well, I'll jump in, Marty, right? We can test it out. And I'm sure between the two of us, we can find three more folks.
Maybe we could do, well, you know, I'd say the other podcasts that we do, we could put people on, but some of them don't answer emails, so
maybe they'll help.
So what? No. Here's Gensius wanting me to play with a new tool. So what can it be used for? I'm in two groups that are actively using Slack, and I don't think they're paying. I know they're not paying for the paid version. They're not paying per seat. And so both of them are tech related. Both of them are around podcasts. So I'm on Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner's group. He has a Slack where he has a channel for general discussion, and he has a channel that is things that we might talk about on the next Mac Voices Live. And so the channel is, the general channel is open to anybody who makes a Patreon contribution. And then the Mac Voices Live channel is for those that are part of the panelists for Mac Voices Live. So he doesn't need to retain that information, because what comes up every week are articles that are collected that we're going to talk about on the show. The other one is a Podfeet, which is Allison Sheridan's podcast called NozillaCast. And she is the one that has a variety of channels that I mentioned, Deals, Delete Me and things like that. She's got set up as sort of a social network for folks answering and asking questions. And it's fun. It's good. I have a tendency to not have it run as a notifications, because there are some topics that people will talk about, security and things like that, that I'm just not that interested in diving that deep as they are on it. So I open it and close it and see what's new. I have some notifications that show up on icons on the app, so it lets me know there's stuff there. But yeah, that's two uses. And again, considering the limitation, the 90-day limitation, and the security, or the not necessarily security, but the sensitivity of the information you're going to describe, it serves a perfect purpose for that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I haven't used it lately since you and I used it. I popped it open and played around with it, but you really need to have a purpose, and you need to have folks to connect with you. So I see that as being kind of the biggest drawback for it at the moment, is I don't have many adopters that I work with.
Yeah.
So bringing it up and making the sell, even just to jump in and tackle a project, I'm going to try and do that. I'm going to see what I can do about getting somebody on it. And
well, I'll see if I can find this other app. And I don't think it has the depth of what Slack has in terms of all these added on stuff. It's really meant for project communication. I think another show that we should talk about is project management. Because for me, it's, and we'll talk about it when we do the show, everybody in academia has projects. How do you manage them? Do you do spreadsheets? Do you do to-do lists? Do you do project managing software? And it seems like there's a wide gap between project management software and to-do lists, and there's very little in the middle that fills that in. Right. And we're academics kind of fall more in the middle. And so trying to find software and ways of doing that. So I think that's a conversation we can have at another show, another topic.
Yeah, I like it. And we can talk dashboards. My university loves a good dashboard.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any other ideas about what it can be used for or what it can't be used for?
Nothing comes to mind, really. I think I would be interested to see how huddles kind of stack up. The Zoom integration is there, but I kind of wish it more fully handled that part.
Yeah.
That you didn't need a secondary tool for that. I feel like that would kind of wrap the package up. So that's something that I would like to see, is the huddles kind of emulate or be able to replace Zoom. But I think they realize the limitations there too.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than something like Teams that tries to make it work in an ecosystem that it just doesn't fit in.
Do you know any alternatives? I searched for alternatives when I was searching for this new app that's out. Any things that come to mind for you?
Not unless you're into AIM. You remember AIM?
Oh, yeah. I remember AIM.
I miss AIM. And it makes me... Slack has that kind of feel to it, right? It's that kind of more fun...
Yeah, well, but without feeling guilty that you're on AOL.
Right.
But...
yeah.
I remember those days when they sent those discs out to you. And first it was the floppy disk, then it was the CD-ROMs. And I got so many of them in every product. I saw somebody actually decorate their Christmas tree with AOL discs. Just the exorbitant amount of discs that they received in the mail to join AOL. Alternatives, I found Tumble. And I haven't looked deep into that software, but it is supposedly a free-like alternative. Now, my guess is they're doing the same thing as this other app, that they're if you want to expand it, you pay a monthly fee depending on expansion, but they're not charging. Well, let me jump in and see. They're not charging a per-use fee for it. Yeah, there's free in terms of text message. There's pro, which includes video conferencing. And then there's enterprise. So they have various plans based on that in terms of Pumble. The other one is Teams, which we've already eviscerated for the day. And then Discord. There are folks who are using Discord. I don't know about level of security with that. I'm part of a couple of Discord groups, and the interface is not pretty. Actually, I am known as Drunk Nick Nolte. That's my Discord name. which is, you know, goes to the story of somebody once said I look like Nick Nolte. And I said, which one are you talking about, young Nick Nolte or drunk Nick Nolte? So drunk Nick Nolte stuck. And that's my Discord name. And there's a lot of playfulness on that. Obviously, Discord has been known for its groups of people demoing and doing online gaming and stuff like that. But I'm in a couple of Discord groups that are related to tech and that run simultaneously when things are being recorded. So you can kind of follow along with the process. But as a place to do collegial work on and as a platform, it would be an instant messenger. That would be kind of it in terms of it. But those are the three alternatives that I found.
Yeah, connect and collaborate. Discord would be fun, yeah. But would lack on the collaborate side.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have the tools to support that, but certainly is a fun kind of option.
So you got any concluding comments?
No. I want to know what this mystery program is. You need to send it as soon as you find it.
And if you haven't, if you're a listener and you haven't checked out Slack, go ahead and sign up for it. You can always email either one of us and we'll hook you into a Slack group or give you some suggestions for Slack groups. I think I went on one time and just searched for open Slack groups and found one that was like a movie discussion group and other things. But it's not just all private in terms of that type of connectivity. If you want to find groups just to test run it, you can do that. I got an invitation for a piece of software. And then they invited me to their Slack group, and I was in their Slack group for a while for support. So there are things you can find to try it out. But if you have never used it, take a look at it. Like I said, it's free to join and to create and use the software and try some things out with it. If you'd like to know more about technology or you have some questions, you can email us at thepodtalknetwork@gmail.com. Or call us and leave a message at 330-333-1240. We'll play your question in the podcast and try and get an answer to you. Our bumper music is from Philip Gross, Rast, from the Free Music Archive. Everything you need to know is at techsavvyprofessor.net. You can find us by searching for The Tech Savvy Professor on Apple Podcasts. Look for us on Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Play Music. You can look for our other shows like Circular Firing Squad on the podtalk.net. And this group will be the first to hear. I've started another podcast on Apple Vision Pro. It's called Vision Profiles, all one word, Vision Profiles. And you can search for that on all your podcasts. If you happen to be an Apple Vision Pro user, I have another Eric, not this Eric, but another Eric who has a Vision Pro headset, and we found some folks to talk about it over the week. So that just started yesterday. You can look for that on any of your, give it a listen. You might just find it interesting, even if you don't have a Vision Pro spatial headset. But that's it for today's show. Thanks for subscribing to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast.